For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, April the 21st, 2000. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon of Jacksonville, Illinois, is the teacher of the morning. I told David not to look at the clock. Come on, Brother Brogdon. He's taking his watch off and putting it in his pocket.
The Lord was saying to you this day, truth or deception. Choose you this day, life or death. The life is eternal, death is eternal. Choose you this day. Father, we thank you today for your Son, Jesus. We thank you today, Lord Jesus, that in you and through you is more than enough. Lord, we have been grafted in to the vine that's eternal. We ask you, Lord Jesus, today that you would open our ears of our understanding that we might hear what the Spirit of God is saying through His vessels. Lord, that we might be doers of that word and not just hearers only. That we might proclaim your word throughout the lands that we live. Lord, that we might rise up off of our comfortable cushions and go forth to proclaim the kingdom to the lost and to the dying. That we might proclaim your words to those who are in need of deliverance, those who are in need of healing. Lord, instruct us in your ways, for your ways are righteous. Instruct us in your truths, for your truths lead to life.
Yes, Lord.
For we ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And amen. God truly is restoring in these days.
Yes.
Restoration. Restoration. How many of us have inherited something we didn't want? Sometimes some people think that they want to, that was nice in their eyes, I guess, to give us something. But today I want to talk about an inheritance I didn't want. Turn with me over to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra the priest was bringing Judah out of, Judah was coming out of captivity. They were restoring the walls. They were restoring the temple. Ezra the priest was reading in the Word and saw and read things in the Word. Ezra the priest wept because of Israel's sins, transgressions, and iniquities. Ezra chapter 9, verse 5, and it says, "At the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings, and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to a spoil, to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." Thank you, Lord. I am ashamed and blush because of the iniquities of my forefathers. Can you imagine this man of God laying before God, confessing the sins, iniquities, and the transgressions of the people? We need men of God to rise up today to confess the sins, iniquities, and transgressions. Iniquity, I believe, is the root of all generational curses. In Exodus chapter 20, if you'll turn there, we find in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments that was given, we find here that there is a place where iniquities are passed down because of something. Chapter 20, verse 1 says, "And the Lord God, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Say, I'm coming out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of bondage. And I shall have no other gods before me. Now I'm going to read. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in the heavens above, or is in the earth beneath, or that's in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that love me, hate me.
And do not obey my word.
I'm going to go on. This doesn't say that in this particular one here. Go over in Deuteronomy, you'll find that. But here in Exodus, it doesn't say that. And showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. God wants to show mercy to us today. God is restoring His people, and I believe He has a remnant that He is restoring today. Those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and are doers of what the Spirit is saying, they are the remnant. They are the overcomers. Do you want to be in that group? As our brother said last night, there's doors open, there's doors closed. I believe God has opened a door for us and made a way of escape for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We've talked a lot about our sins, and we've repented and cried out to God over our sins. Our transgressions are not talked about too much. Iniquities, very seldom do I ever hear the word iniquity in the body of Christ. I'm going to read to you the word. I'll give you a definition of the word iniquity. Iniquity is, as I said last night, is the Greek word avon, A-V-O-N-E. It means perverseness, to be bent or crooked, to be wrung out of course, and it signifies not merely that which is wrong, but the tendency to do wrong. This inclination lies in the disposition and nature, and not merely in the act of the transgression of the law. It is nothing more or less than the spirit and nature of the devil working in the children of disobedience, of which we were. But God, in His mercy, is bringing us out. Webster, in his dictionary, you know, in my field of work, I have to thoroughly research things, and so I try to thoroughly research in the Word of God as much as the Lord opens unto me the understanding. Webster, this man of God that wrote the dictionary. Thank God for the dictionary. Amen. So we have a better understanding today of words. Webster wrote about iniquity, and all he had to say was gross injustice. And I began to look up that word injustice. Injustice means a violation of a right or the rights of another. An act that inflicts undeserved hurt. So if iniquity was passed down to us, it inflicts undeserved hurt if we've never done that sin. It inflicts something in our lives. And as I read over to you, as we read earlier in Ezra, we find that we're turned over to someone because of these iniquities, aren't we? And Satan has a legal right to inflict things upon us. Now, many of us, as I said earlier, have taken care of the sins. What is the sin? What is the sin? The sin is, well, I'll give you the definition first, and I'll write down what I wrote. Sin is an offense against a religious or moral law to commit an offense or a fault. An act of stumbling, a breach of a moral or social code or misdemeanor. That's sin. Sin to me is you didn't know it and you're sorry. Forgive me. What is a transgression? A transgression is to go beyond the limits set or prescribed by or to violate a command or a law. So what is the transgression today? I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's a transgression. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. But iniquity, that gross injustice, that perverseness, to me it means there's an inward drive that's compelling me to sin and to transgress the Word of God. Something within that transgresses. Look over in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Isaiah 53. Verse 5 says, this is about, well, let's look at verse 4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon who? Him. And with His stripes we are healed. You know, I believe that people in the body of Christ don't know and cannot distinctly differentiate the terminologies of sins, transgressions, and iniquities. And because of that, they lay up everything under one thing, sin. I've sinned against God. Now, how many times did Jesus bleed for us? Anybody know? Who said that? That's exactly right. 7 times He bled for us. Where did He bleed? Bled in His hands first, didn't He? Well, the very first thing He bled for, let's go back a little further in the Scriptures. He bled at in the garden, didn't He? He sweat blood, didn't He? He bled for us there. And He was asking God to forgive us. He bled in the garden for our weakness, and it came from off His head. So for our mental weakness is what He bled for. We're weak in our minds, aren't we? We're weak in our minds. And so He bled for us in the garden so that our wills could be changed by the power of His blood. God wants to change us, doesn't He? He wants to conform us into something, doesn't He? And to the image of His Son. Amen. And so He bled in the garden for us. And then Jesus was taken into captivity, and something that the Roman soldiers took Him and they made a crown. And where did they place this crown again? There's a lot to do about the head, isn't there? And they placed the crown of thorns on His head, and they smote Him on the head, and those crowns were drove into His head. And He bled there, didn't He? And it's His blood that He wants to deliver our minds, our will, and our emotions. He wants to set us free. And then He went into the... As they crucified Him and they put Him on the cross, He bled from His hands. Why His hands? For the things that we have to do. We work with our hands. Do we do all things as unto the Lord? I doubt not. But we should do everything. All of our work should be done as unto the Lord. And then He bled from His feet, didn't He? Why? You know, I think about His feet. That's what takes me places. It's our walk in life. He wants our walk in life to be clean, doesn't He? He wants it to be pure.
Yes.
Amen. And then He bled from His side. There was a sword thrust in His side. And that side speaks of our transgressions. He wants to heal us and deliver us from the curse of transgressions.
Yes.
And then on His back He was beaten, wasn't He? And it says, "For with His stripes we are healed." Hallelujah. And you know, when He was on the cross, something happened. He bled. And the Scripture says that the blood and the water hit something. It fell from Him, and it fell where? To the earth, didn't it? God was redeeming the earth, wasn't He? Aren't you? Say, I'm a lump of clay that the Lord is molding. God is molding us, isn't He? He's bringing us out of idolatry. He's bringing us out of the world system. We're in the world, but not of the world.
Yes.
And He's bringing us out.
Yes.
You know, I believe there's the primary cause for lukewarmness in the body of Christ is that we in the body of Christ have not dealt with those internal torments, those iniquities, because we didn't know we had to. Everybody wants to lump everything under the day of salvation. How many here have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. Those of you that haven't, we need to pray for you. We pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to you and bring you to that place where you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and soon the coming King. Although He is King right now of our hearts. And so we find that there are outward signs of blood on Jesus on the cross, weren't there? But he was bruised for our iniquities. Now, those are physicians know that a bruise is what? A blood vessel or something that's been broken under the skin, correct? And, you know, one thing about a bruise is if I would take... I'll pick on you today, Brother Bob. So. Okay, thank you. If I would flog Brother Bob on his back or on his sides and he bruised easily, he could throw that shirt on and I would never see those bruises. You would never see those bruises, would you? And, you know, that's the way it is with us, with these transgressions that lead us to iniquities, that these iniquities are covered over and we don't want to deal with them. If there's something that compels you to sin all the time, I say you have an iniquity in your bloodline that needs to be broken in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus 34. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus chapter 34. Verse 6 says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" Hallelujah. "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation." The iniquities are visited. Look at Leviticus chapter 16. Let's look at some things here in the Word of God. Let's establish something in our hearts once and for all. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 20 to 22. "And when he had made an end reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle, the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear up on him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall... Let go the goat in the wilderness." So we can, here is the high priest confessing all the what? Sins, transgressions, and iniquities on this goat. Who is that goat? It's a scapegoat, wasn't it? Who was our scapegoat? Jesus. Thank God. Is salvation for everyone? It's for everyone. Is everybody saved? Why not? They never ask, do they? They never asked. Is healing for everyone?
Yes.
Is everybody saved? No. Why? Some don't ask. Some think, well, this is the thing that God hath put upon me. Is everybody delivered? No. Again, we have to ask. Lord, deliver me. And so, even though Jesus became a curse for us, we have to appropriate certain things, don't we? And if we don't appropriate them, we'll never receive them. I would like to say that at the time of my conversion, that I would have been delivered, healed, and made a holy vessel right then and there that would have never, ever sinned again. That would have been good, wouldn't it? Would have been great. But it didn't happen. But the Lord, in His mercy, took me anyway. He took me anyway, didn't He? And I found that he could use a vessel that was unclean as long as I was striving to get clean. And some of you today have come long distances. You've come perhaps in search of something, and I pray that you'll find it here in the camp through the course of this week, and that you will find what it is that the Lord Jesus has for you. You know, if Jesus Christ is not lifted up, then no one will be drawn unto Him. So we need to lift Jesus up in all things. Iniquities are shackles that will hold us down so that we're not free. You know, there's a verse over in Revelation that says that by the blood, by the word of our testimony, and by what? By loving not our lives as unto death. Now, I have a hard time sometimes with people because a lot of people love their lives too much to let go of it. But we need to let go of our life. It's not ours anymore. We've been bought with a price, a high price, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Job chapter 13, this man Job, did he go through some things. Yet Job never sinned against God, did he? He never confessed anything. His wife wanted him to. But he never. Job chapter 13, verses 23-26. Job says, "How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, and wilt thou pursue and dry the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth." How many iniquities have we received from our youth, from our days of birthing, have we received from our forefathers? How many? Psalms, over in Psalms 32, let's look and see what David has to say about iniquities. Psalms 32, hallelujah. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones grew old through my roaring all the day long. For the day and the night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. And I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah." Selah, a Hebrew word, means stop and think on these things. Stop and think on this. I acknowledge, Lord, that I've sinned. I acknowledge that I have willfully sinned, Lord, which became an iniquity. I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. I transgressed against you. I willfully did it. Ooh. But in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says something that I want to encourage you now. You need to be encouraged, amen? In Isaiah 59, hallelujah. Verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." Hallelujah. "Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue with hath muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor any plead for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Wow. Thank God for His hand that is not shortened, that it cannot save us. That word save is deliver. Can He deliver us today from our iniquities of our forefathers? Have there been some things in your life that you've not been able to get out from underneath? And you have sinned. And you've willfully done it. And there was something that compelled you to do those things. And when you did it, you just felt miserable. And then the next time it came along again, the same thing came along, whatever it was in your life. And you did it again and again. And you cried unto the Lord, but it happened again and again. You see, I believe we need to confess the iniquities of our forefathers. Sin lies at the door, but God has a truth that He wants to extend to us today. A truth to bring us through the door. Amen? Bring us through on the other side. You know, it's an interesting thing about what happened at the first Passover. Look back in Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. They had to do something. Yes, they had to put the blood on the door, didn't they? And he says that they had to kill a lamb, chapter 12. They had to keep the Passover. And verse 7 says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Now think of this. I can't walk away. Think of this. Blood for sin. Blood for transgression, blood for iniquity. Three areas that we need to deal with. Sin, transgression, and iniquity. Amen?
And so that's, the blood covers that. But we need to appropriate the blood. Just like the children of Israel had to appropriate the blood, didn't they?
Yes.
And when did they do it? In the Passover. We appropriate the Lord Jesus Christ's blood in this day of Passover we're in right now. Actually, we're in the day of unleavened bread, which is what we're actually in. Get the sin out. Unleavened bread means get the sin out of you. Do you want to get the sin out or you want it to stay in? You want the sin out, right? We have to apply the blood over these areas of our life. Because if we leave any door open up, it will open back up those areas where iniquity will come back in. So we have to appropriate the blood and close the door once and for all on our sins. Amen? Look in Proverbs 16. I hope this is not too dry for you. Proverbs chapter 16. It wasn't dry for me, but I... Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So we need truth today. We need the mercy of God, and we need truth to purge us from iniquity. Amen? We need that. Truth is knowing how to apply the blood in those areas of our life. Sins, transgressions, iniquities. A lot of people like to dabble with it. Oh, I'll take care. I really like this sin, though. Some people do like their sins, I'm telling you. It's not a bad sin. I didn't tell a bad lie. I was just a little... Well, yeah, right. A little white lie is all I told. It really wasn't bad. A lie is a lie. Beguilement is beguilement. Jesus became a high priest for us, didn't he?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And if we look over in Hebrews chapter 4, he became that high priest and he gave us something. Chapter 4, verse 12. Everybody knows that one by heart. What is the Word of God? It's slow. It doesn't work. Is that what the Scripture says? It doesn't say that, does it? It is quick and it's powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. All things are open to Jesus. He knows your sins. He knows your transgressions. He knows your iniquities. How many of you know what went on four generations ago in your bloodline? Not a soul here. If you do, we may have to cast a lie at it. You don't know what went on four generations. I was fortunate my grandfather just passed away in the late 80s. But I had the opportunity to sit before them, and they knew a couple generations back from them, but not too well. But the generation back from them, they knew real well. So I had the opportunity going back three generations anyway, and found out some of the transgressions, sins, and the iniquities of my forefathers, and brought them under the cross, under the blood of Jesus Christ, once and for all, to do away with them. We did it with our children, my wife and I. We sat down with our children at our table. We prayed the prayer out loud so Satan knew that we knew. I didn't do it under our breath. We did it out loud. And my daughters have since said that they really appreciate the fact that we have done this with them, because it saved them from many a hurt. Hallelujah. And it says, verse 14 of this chapter 4 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with something, with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He was the unleavened bread, wasn't he? He was the unleavened bread. And I hope and pray that tomorrow evening I get to minister, and I'm going to minister, and we're going to have communion. And I brought the matzah and the juice for that special, that we might have communion together. And through that, we can establish something within our hearts here. And it'll be forever and ever. You know, iniquities, we don't know where they come from sometimes. We don't know what side of the bloodline they come from. But they come anyway. And You know, it's just like somebody just keeps coming to beat us up in certain areas of our life. And we don't know how to deal with it. We need to be cleansed from it. We need to confess it before the Lord our God. In Psalms 103, let's look at that. I've got many scriptures, but I'm trying to be quick about this. Psalms 103. We find in Psalms 103 here, verse 3 through 6. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," verse 1, "all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." God wants to heal us, doesn't He? You know, and I believe that iniquities cause healing, diseases in our bodies, which we need healing for. I believe sins cause problems in our body. I've been in the course of writing some things, and I prayerfully will get a book out where we can see what these things will do. And if we have certain diseases, we'll see what sins and iniquities are behind that. We need to get to the root of it. When you go to a doctor, what does he ask? He asks you a lot of questions, doesn't he? And he wants to get to the root of your problem, doesn't he? Did your ancestors have this? Anybody in your bloodline have any heart disease? Have they had anything that had any blood diseases? Have they had these things? He's always asking, isn't he? He wants to know so he can get to the root of it. And he can prescribe the medication that's needed. So it is with us. We need to know and go to the root of these things, break the curse of it, so that we can be healed once and for all. Not a partial healing. Once and for all. Hallelujah. Yes, to walk in hell. There are certain sins and transgressions that require the death penalty in the Word of God. But God in His mercy has spared those and spared us. Thank God for His mercy. Because if it weren't for His mercy, there would be no human race. If it weren't for His mercy. Go to Lamentations, that little book between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Go to that little book there. It's powerful. It's only 5 chapters, and let's go to the 5th chapter. Chapter 5, the Lamentations. There's a lot in this little book. The writer here, Lamentations, Solomon says, "Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, and our houses to aliens." You know, if you have iniquities in your life, then you have aliens within. Well, that's what it says there. You have aliens within. And you need to be set free from those. What is the word aliens is using alienate? Wants to separate you from. These things want to separate you from the anointing. They want to separate you from holiness. They want to keep you in darkness. And they want to keep you perverse. And they want to keep you in sin. He says, "We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wool is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Syrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not. And we have borne whose iniquities? Their iniquities." Somebody give me some water, please. "Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand." Those servants are aliens. Those of you that have problems in your body, various illnesses, I would say that there's iniquity behind that. It's caused that. If you're having trouble in your finances, if you're doing everything prescribed in the Word of God and you're still having trouble in your finances, there's an iniquity behind that. Because your forefathers didn't do the prescribed things. And so you need to be broke. That curse needs to be broke. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalms 106. Let's look there a moment. Psalms 106. Let's get some life in this. Amen? Bless you. Verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that keepeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Remember, O Lord. Here we find David remembering that his forefathers, what his forefathers had done. And he's saying, remember, O Lord, remember the righteous things that I've done. Remember those things. For your mercy is not slack today. Your mercy is forever and ever. And it endures forever.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, thank you for your mercy.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for your mercy.
Yes, Lord.
We have all at one time or another sinned. The Scripture says all have sinned and fallen what? Short of the glory.
Yes.
I've been in the glory twice. You cannot stand in the glory because the glory consumes you. And anything that's not of God, He'll bring it forth. He'll show you your wrongs. He'll show you the areas and the iniquities in your life. It's the most awesome thing. I recall last year at the we were here at the men's retreat, and the fire of God came into this place. And those, there are some that were here. We could not stand the minister, could we? Because of the fire of God. And men were saying all around, it's burning, it's burning. God was burning the things out of us. Then the word of the Lord came. Prophecy that was long, but it had a message in that word that was given to us. And if you want, I think they wrote it up. They put it in one of the last Octobers or last Decembers. Voices from His Excellent Glory. And it's in there. And it was awesome to hear what God had to say to those who came before Him and stood before Him. And in that prophecy, He said that He would, day after day, continue to cleanse us. Continue to make us holy vessels. And there wasn't, I don't know about most of the men, but I know I wept because of the word of the Lord that came. We don't weep over the word of the Lord anymore. We're so hardened towards the word of the Lord. We need to weep over the word that God speaks to us. I've taken that word and I keep it in my office and I have that word and I look upon it. And I remind God of the word that He gave to those of us who were there at that time. And I say, Lord, keep Your word. Because You gave it to Your people. Keep Your word. Remember not mine iniquities anymore. Deliver me from those iniquities of my forefathers. Heal me, Lord. Psalms 51. Let's go to there right quickly. You know, when Ezra and Nehemiah was restoring the temple and Ezra was restoring the walls and things, that there was a reading of the word. And when they read the word, everyone stood and they listened. And it says that they stood for a fourth part of the day listening to the word that Ezra the priest read. And they were all moved by the reading of the word. I pray today that you're moved by the reading of the word.
Yes.
Psalms 51. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And David goes on to say, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Say this with me. Blot out all mine iniquities. Whew, blot it out. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, that's where the church is coming. We have a clean heart, and we have a new spirit within us. And we're moving in the Spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That should be our cry today. We need the Holy Spirit to help us this day. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. We need to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed today. And God is no respecter of persons. If He cleansed one, He's going to cleanse us all. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I was thinking on iniquities, and a thought went through my mind. And anybody ever had these little toys that has a BB in it, and you got these little holes, and you got to get that BB in them little holes? And you know what I'm talking about? A little bitty toy, and you're moving that around and jogging. That to me is like the iniquities are the balls. The holes is where our fathers have transgressed against God. And Satan is wanting to drop those little balls in those holes to keep that iniquity going another 3, 4, or 10 generations. And he plays around and lets us play around until he drops it in there. And then things begin to happen. Illnesses, sicknesses, poverty, whatever comes. And if we learn that the devil has a contract against us, and his contract is to steal, to kill, and to destroy us. Isn't it? But what did Jesus do? He came to give us what?
Life.
And that more abundantly.
Now.
Right now, in this day, in this age, right now, it's immediate. Should have been yesterday, but today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance.
Amen.
Today is the day of restoration. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, let's see what Jesus said. That's a good chapter to read in Matthew, if you would, because his disciples, Jesus' disciples, wanted to know about the end times. Didn't they? They sure did. Today, people are wanting to know about the end times, aren't they? And there was the very first thing that Jesus said when they asked this to him, verse 4, is, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Deception is the thing that is rampant today in the body of Christ, because the people don't have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen? And so we find here, in Jesus giving them an understanding of the last days. And verse 11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall what?
Wax cold."
Wax cold.
Yes.
Has your love grown cold towards your Lord and Savior Jesus? Is iniquity working in your life today? Do you need that deliverance today? You know, iniquity will cause you to leave the presence of God. It will cause the presence of God to go from you. And iniquity is in abounding right now in the body of Christ. That's why there's so many that are lukewarm today. Iniquity will grow, and it will grow until you get to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And Tommy Cook gave us over 100 scriptures last night. Worse. I counted them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Iniquity is coming. Paul, in his writer to Thessalonica, in writing to Thessalonica, he wrote there, and he says in verse 2, chapter 2, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man do something to you, deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except something happens." There come a what? falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he is as God sits in the naos of God, showing himself that he is God. That word naos, that word temple, is this. Right here. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to show you that word right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, "Know ye not that you are the naos of God? You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you." Verse 17, "If any man defile the naos or the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." That same Greek word, naos, is the same Greek word, refers to this. It's not referring to some building that's going to be built. It's referring to this temple right here. And so who's going to sit in this temple and exalt himself? The man of sin. Amen. Thank you, Tom. The iniquitous one is sitting there. He knows it's sin. He knows it anyway, but he's going to do it anyway. And I'm going to say that I'm God, exalting himself. And so this is the end of the matter, that iniquity shall grow. And it'll grow until finally you're going to set yourself up, if you don't deal with it, and say, and oppose all things of God. And perhaps there are some of you today that have been headed that direction. Maybe you begin to oppose some of the teachings of God. Now, I'm not to say that there are some teachings you need to oppose. But that is truth, you shouldn't oppose. But yet there are some that throw out, "We don't need deliverance today. We don't need a healing today unless God wants to heal me. I'm suffering these things for Christ's sake." Oh, my heavens. I prayed with a woman in our hometown, and it's a friend of the family, and she has a cancer, and she says, "Oh, God has put this thing upon me so that I might suffer for Him." I said, "The only ones doing any suffering is you. God is not suffering. Let me warn you about this. He's not glorified in your suffering. He's glorified in your healing, so that you might manifest this and tell this to others." God looks down our road, doesn't He? He knows our lineage, doesn't He? And He knows if there are those in our lineage that have created or have been charged with iniquities. Hallelujah. But thank God for His blood, because His blood today is going to abolish those iniquities. Do you believe that? He wants to blot out that sin of iniquity in our lives. Now, for you women, if there's a stain in the clothing, what do you have to do? You have to bleach it, blot it. You know, they have various products in America here, you know. They have various products that you can use. And you have to blot it and you have to rub it. I see my wife every once in a while, you know, doing these things. And so she's taking these things out, you know. And she's removing that stain. And that's what Jesus wants to do today. He wants to blot it out and remove it wholly. All those iniquities. As long as iniquity remains, there is a remembrance of it. As long as it remains, there's a remembrance of it. Hallelujah. Look in Jeremiah 31. This is what God, I believe, is establishing with His remnant today. He says in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law" where? "In their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." The writer of Hebrews mentions this, doesn't he? Let's go over to Hebrews. Chapter 10. It's mentioned twice, actually, in Hebrews. Chapter 8, verse 10, and chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hallelujah. Have you heard people say, or have you said yourself, you know, something like this? I've always been this way. I've always had this problem. Every time, this time of the year, I always get sinus problems. Now, come on. I've heard people say these things. Sinus problems is duped in idolatry. Your ancestors were in idolatry somewhere, or you may be in idolatry and don't know it. And that brings about sinus problems. Now, God said when He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt that He would put what? None of the diseases of Egypt upon them. Didn't He? Didn't He say that? Deuteronomy 28. Let's look there. If they obeyed Him. That was the key, wasn't it? They had to obey. Obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. Amen? Deuteronomy 28. Verses 1 to 14 are the blessings. And 15 through 68 are the curses. Well, there's more curses than our blessings, isn't there, Mildred? Hallelujah. Verse 45 says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you, oh my heavens, till you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to do something, and His which He commanded you. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed how long? Woo! Boy, oh boy. Forever. Forever. Those curses will be upon you forever. Because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall you serve your enemies which the Lord your God sends against you in hunger. There you go. Now look at it. In thirst, in nakedness, and in want of how many things? All things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed you. Oh, my heavens. Verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of the law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear his glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. We don't fear the Lord today. You know, I go into certain countries. There are certain countries they fear the name of the Lord in reverence. Down in South America, they call him Mr. Jesus. In reverence. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. I've never seen a wonderful plague in my life. And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, of long continuance and sore sickness and of long continuance. Moreover, he shall bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall do something. Cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Why? Because they did not obey the commandments and the statutes. What are the commandments today? Love the Lord thy God with what? Half my heart? No, a fourth of my heart? How much? All of my heart, soul and being. And to love thy neighbor, what? Oh, you know, if you don't love yourself, you'll never love your neighbor. If you do not love yourself, you will never love your neighbor. So it's important to love yourself. Amen? So we find here in the Word of the Lord that there will be sicknesses placed upon us because we did not obey God. And I see today there are many that have sicknesses put upon them because of the iniquities of the forefathers. Amen? Hallelujah. Chapter 31 of Jeremiah, I read to you. And I believe that we can see here that God has and is making a special covenant with His people. And He's pulling them out of darkness, and He's delivering them, and He's going to remember their sins and iniquities no more because they have confessed them. And sometimes we don't know, as I said earlier, what four generations ago happened. But so I just like to confess everything. They may have done this, and I didn't know it. One part of our lineage may have done it. You know, iniquity has to be purged from us. Amen? Look at Proverbs 16. I'm getting closer. Proverbs 16. verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You know, in the camp here, a number of years back, there was a man, Norman Parrish, that taught on the fear of the Lord. Awesome. But he gave us an assignment. He said, you go study out some more for yourself. See what the fear of the Lord really is. And it was awesome. I studied that thing and I saw that we're nowhere close. We're nowhere close to this. We have no fear, no reverential fear for the Lord. God is going to purge us and He's going to thoroughly cleanse us. And that's why we need the blood of Jesus Christ purged over our conscience, poured over our conscience, applied to our conscience, to our mind, so that our thinking is changed, so that we can serve the living God in fear. Today, people sit in pews. You know, there are people that I've asked to come to the church or ministries, and I've asked to go to various meetings and so forth. And you know, a lot of people that are in the world out there says, I'm not going to go because there's nothing but hypocrites out there. Because they say one thing on Sunday, and then I see them, you know, out here in the street, and they're cursing and doing all kinds of other things through the week. And so they will not, you know, they will not go in there because of the hypocrisy. And I say that to them this way, come on in anyway, even though it's there. Come on anyway, maybe the Lord might use you to change us. He might. Amen. Let's look at this last thing over in Leviticus 26. And let us go through a prayer. Can we do that? Leviticus chapter 26. Verses 39 to 42. It says, verse 39, and they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquities in your enemies' land, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they had trespassed against me, and they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant. This is important. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. There are seven things here that we need to look at. We need to, first of all, confess our own iniquities. We need to confess, the second thing, is the iniquities of our fathers and the trespass that they committed against God. The third thing is we need to admit that, yes, our fathers and forefathers walk contrary to God.
Yes.
Then we need to, fourth thing, admit that God was righteous in walking contrary to us because of their iniquities or our iniquities. God had a perfectly legal right. The fifth thing is we need to acknowledge that God has brought us into captivity to the land of our enemies. Every alien that inhabits your being, or that is outside, that is controlling your circumstances. We have to acknowledge this, just like the children of Israel did. Then we need to, six, humble ourselves and accept that God has been righteous in ordering my life, and that He will bring it to the place where He wants to bring it today. Then we have to, the seventh thing is, remember that He made covenants with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have to remember that. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, we have a covenant. And it's through Jesus Christ that these iniquities can be cleansed forever. God is just, and He is righteous, isn't He? And I believe today, as we would confess our sins and our iniquities and our transgressions, that He will forgive us. And because we have access through our great and high priest, who is He? Jesus. We have access. We need to declare it. We need to declare what God has done and will do in our lives. Amen? We need to make a declaration, and we need to begin to tell others what He has done for us. We need to do this. Isaiah, I'm going to read this to you, verse 25. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will remember thy and remember not thy sins. Put me in remembrance, and let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore have I profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Let us declare and plead with God. Our forefathers have sinned. Let's apply the blood of Jesus Christ today. Can we do that?
Hallelujah.
Do you want to do that today?
Yes.
Is this what's in your heart today?
Yes.
To get out from underneath all iniquities,
yes,
in a finality?
Yes.
I believe that we need to stand if you want to do that. We need to... Now, I've written a prayer out. I went through all this, and I've written a prayer, and I think we need to confess this out loud. We need to let the enemy know out loud that once and for all. And if we've entered into, or our forefathers have entered into any of these things, we need to confess them today. There's a gentleman that wrote a prayer, and he wrote a prayer about breaking, and I've got it written back in my book, you know, for deliverance. I wrote that prayer in there because I liked it so well. But it never mentioned, and this gentleman is never mentioned about the iniquities, all the sins and things. But I have since I've been doing this study, I went back in and I put in transgressions and iniquities so that I could help my brothers and sisters in Christ. If you would today, let us stand and declare and break the curse of iniquities that have been over us for 4 or 10 generations. Can we do that? Let's lift our hands unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Now I want you to repeat after me. Father,
Father,
in the name of Jesus Christ,
in the name of Jesus Christ,
I come to you sincerely. With a desire to be free, from all curses, sins, iniquities, transgressions, and their results.
Lord Jesus,
I thank you
that
I am a child of yours, that you saved me,
and you are cleansing away my sins
at the cross.
I confess with my mouth
that I belong to you,
that the devil has no power over me,
because I am cleansed
and covered
by your precious blood.
I recognize
and now confess
all of my sins
and iniquities
and transgressions
known to me
or unknown to me.
Now, just in a soft voice, begin to say those things unto Him. Say those things to Him. Give them unto Him right now. Repent of them. Give them over to Him. Those things that you know that you have done. All perverseness, all divination, all idolatry, all of them that our forefathers have done. Not obeying the commandments of the Lord. Confess them. Now repeat after me.
I repent.
Now, Lord Jesus.
I ask you to forgive me
of those sins, iniquities, and transgressions.
I ask the Holy Spirit
to further bring
any of them
to my remembrance
that I have not confessed.
Any that I've missed.
Bring them to my remembrance.
I now, Lord Jesus,
come and confess
the sins,
iniquities,
and transgressions
of all my forefathers.
In the name and by the power of the blood,
I confess them
and break them
and renounce them.
And renounce them. And I command,
every demonic spirit, every
spirit that would alienate,
and keep me from
the blessings
and promises of God,
to be loose from me
now
in the name of Jesus,
that they will not be passed down
to my generations
below me.
They will stop here.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus,
I break the power
and the hold
of every curse
that came down to me through sins,
iniquities,
and transgressions
of my forefathers
now.
I thank you, Jesus,
as I now renounce
and break and loose myself
from and my family
from all demonic subjection,
from these curses
of iniquities
that have been passed down
into my generation.
Thank you, Jesus,
for liberating me,
that these things will not dominate
nor control me
any longer,
contrary
to the way
and the word of will of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I break and declare
every legal hold
and every legal ground
of the enemy
to be broken and destroyed,
that Satan no longer
has a legal right
to harass me
or my family line
through sins,
iniquities,
or transgressions
through the blood of Jesus Christ.
I declare
that I am free.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
I command
all demonic spirits
that have came in through
curses
of iniquities,
of sins,
or of transgressions
to begin to leave me now.
I say to you, go
in Jesus' name,
by the power of the blood
of Jesus Christ.
I confess
that my body, soul, and spirit
is the dwelling place
of the Holy Ghost.
I have been redeemed,
and I am redeemed
now,
cleansed,
sanctified,
and justified
by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Jesus,
thank you
for setting me free.
Amen
and amen.
Hallelujah!
Bless the Lord!
Praise your Lord!
Glory!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise you, Lord!
Glory!
Hallelujah!
Woo!
Glory!
Praise you, Lord!
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord!
Lord, I ask you now to look upon your people.
Lord, as those who have made the confession, Lord,
and they've made a declaration this day,
Lord,
that their iniquities would be blotted out.
Lord,
that they would be remembered
no more.
Lord, that they would be clean vessels
to go
forth in your name.
Lord,
I thank you for your cleansing today.
Lord,
that you have cleansed us from these things.
And Lord,
if there's further need for deliverance,
Lord,
that in the course of this day or the next,
Lord,
we will cry out unto you
as
you reveal those things
in the
name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, I receive
your
deliverance today.
For I desire
to be a pure
vessel,
holy and undefiled,
in
your presence
daily,
that you might
use me
in any way
that
you desire,
and
that Satan knows
that
there shall be none of him
within me.
Just as it was with you, so shall it be with me. That I will cleanse myself from all iniquities. All of them. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Glory to your name. Praise your Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I think of Mary when the Lord delivered her of those demons and how she followed him all the days of her life. And she gave him her all. And she was the first to the tomb, wasn't she? At the resurrection. And she was so looking forward. She was thinking in her heart that he was going to be there. She was looking for this other body, you know. But there he was in his glorified body, looking like a caretaker. And she didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize him till he spoke. So it is with us. He's the caretaker over our soul. And he's speaking today. And as he speaks, we should humble ourselves and we should declare that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings forever and forever and forever. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you.
Hallelujah.
It's time to eat, Glenn says. Well, I hope you had a little food here that helped you. And I pray right now, let's pray over this food. Lord, we just thank you. And Lord Jesus, that you would bless the hands that have prepared this food back here. Lord, those who have labored over this, over the grills and over the stoves, Father God, I pray that you would, Lord, bless them abundantly. And Lord, I pray that the tapes, if they get the tapes and listen, Lord, it would instruct them. Lord, that there would be an anointing there, Lord, that
Hallelujah.
Would deliver them also. Lord,
Hallelujah.
I ask you now to prepare us for even the rest of this day, Lord. Lord, as we give ourselves over to you as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, we ask you now, Lord, to bless this day to your service in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.